Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Larry Gardner from Amputees Amplified. So tell me a little bit about Amputees Amplified.
Amputees Amplified was originally just called amputee.ca. I started it in 2003, and I registered the name amputee.ca, which gave me a real good chance at dominating the search engines. So I started it out as a sort of trying to relate my experiences in order to inspire others. And so I put up pictures of my swimming and my skiing experiences. I put up I wrote some stories, and I tried to offer peer support to other amputees. I used to get a lot of calls and emails from people asking questions, and I eventually ended up doing some peer support with an amputee here in Vancouver. And then about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I realized my website that I had built originally, it started looking old. So I hired a web designer. I work on websites, but I'm not a designer. So I hired a designer and created a new brand called Amputees Amplified, to kind of bring it up to date as far as the design and the look of it. And again, I wanted to do the same thing, relate my stories to people, try to get them to submit their stories. And I also started a Facebook page, which is now just over 500 likes. So that's how Amputees Amplified got going.
So if you wouldn't mind taking me through a little bit of your story.
I was riding on the back of a motorcycle when I was 19 years old. My friends and I had gone out horseback riding that day and something else, I can't remember. Then we were going out to the amusement park. This is in Ontario. And my friend and I was on the back of his motorcycle, and this car crossed the center line and kept coming at us, and we were hit, and I ended up losing my leg. And about a year and a half, 2 years later, I got involved in swimming for the disabled and skiing for the disabled. So I learned to become a competitive swimmer, and I went to 3 national competitions, 2 international competitions. I raced against able-bodied swimmers. And as a skier, it was the same thing, although the skiing wasn't quite as, it was more like a fun thing. The swimming was a serious thing, which we trained a lot for. So I got involved in swimming. I went to the Paralympics in 1980 and took home a silver and a bronze medal for the 100-meter breaststroke and the 100-meter butterfly. And in 1979, I went to the World Amputee Games, and I won a gold and a silver. And I kept up my physical activities throughout most of my life. I always swam. I skied for years. And I got into mountain biking. I rode a bicycle for about 10 years or so. And I still kind of swim, but I'm getting a little old now.
So, what do you suppose are the biggest challenges facing amputees in terms of actually getting involved with athletic activities these days?
The biggest challenges facing amputees would be probably wondering whether they were able to do it or not. You know, maybe some people would think, I couldn't do that. I could never ski down a mountain on one leg. You know, maybe they don't believe that they can do it.
So your own story of taking up mountain biking with a lost limb, it's very impressive, I must say.
Thank you.
And to look at the converse side of things, in your time working with amputees, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
Yes, definitely. I saw this musician once, years ago, and he was a guitar player. I was really impressed by him. And then years later, I actually met him that night. Years later, I was on Facebook, and I saw a story that he was about to lose his leg, or had lost his leg, and they were doing a fundraising dance for him. So through Facebook, I got in touch with this guy, and being a new amputee, he was struggling like you wouldn't believe. He had been directed to a prosthetics company that wasn't very good, wasn't really helping him very much. So I got in touch with him. I went and met with him and his family a few times, and I made him realize that going to a prosthetist is like going to buy shoes. You don't have to go to any particular one. You can go to one that you like. And they didn't realize that. So I directed him to my prosthetics guy, who's fantastic. And within a month or two, Tony was up and walking. His stump was in much better shape. He was back on stage again playing his guitar, and he was so appreciative and just nice about it. So that would be the big success story right there.
So if you could send any message to all those out there struggling with being a new amputee, what would you say?
I would say get in the swimming pool. It's the best thing for taking care of your whole body, because as you age, as an amputee, your body takes a lot more stress. And getting in the pool is a good, easy way to get active and start realizing that you can pretty well do anything that you set your mind to.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Amputees Amplified. Guess the name says it all, folks. But it's just incredible to me that someone with a prosthetic would take up swimming, mountain biking, and achieve great success as a Paralympic athlete. Fact of the matter is, we tend to look at people with disabilities as always being out there to inspire, always just achieving these things because they want the public eye, they want the spotlight. No, 9 times out of 10, they're just doing it because it's what comes naturally to them. For a great athlete who undergoes a prosthetic, an amputation, they can still be a great athlete. The fact is, it's going to come naturally to them to engage in their sport, even if it is finding a new way. If it means that much to you, don't let it go. A person with a disability can and should be allowed to create and to explore those things that help them to reach their full potential. By that I mean, they should just live for what comes naturally. An athlete doesn't always play their game to get noticed. They do it because they love it, because they want to be an athlete. They want for themselves to know that no matter what the condition, amputee or not, they are still a person of strength, intelligence, and character, and above all else, potential. And why is it that a person who undergoes an accident, has to get an amputation, would jump to a conclusion that says, I can't be an athlete. I can't be a high-performance player. It's not so. Look at any athlete with a disability and tell me they don't train as hard, they don't push themselves as hard, and they don't put on a great game. Because when you're out there, it's freedom. It's about being in the moment. It's about just living for what you love. Not thinking about what might hold you back, but allowing yourself to experience the moment, to be part of a great game, even to be part of a team, or whether you're doing it for yourself. It is one of the greatest things that speaks to the potential of a person with a disability. Fact is, there are blind water skiers, target shooters. There are amputees who have run marathons. There are people who have taken the limits of what we think physical capability is. They've said to those limits, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to push back. That is where it begins. The belief that you can and should achieve and create. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Youth Center is the only drop-in community center for homeless and at-risk youth in Windsor, Essex. WIC provides helpful and experienced staff members and offers several important services such as meals, snacks, opportunities to explore creative expression, resume help, and a safe space for youth to come together. The Windsor Youth Center is open Monday to Saturday from 5 to 10 p.m. and is located at 1247 Wyandotte Street East. Get help or lend a hand right here in your community at the Windsor Youth Center.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Larry Gardner from Amputees Amplified. In this next segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Jerry Benocito from Philpar. So tell me a little bit about Philpar.
Well, Philpar is actually Filipino parents with special needs children. So we're a group of Filipino parents initially based, most of us are based in Richmond. And the focus really is on our special needs children. And the goal is to have them be integrated mainly into society. So we're looking at helping them currently in their special needs, in addressing their special needs. And hopefully as we plan, as we go along, we would like to have them employed, gainfully employed. And we're also looking at the housing options for our children. But mainly it's a support group of parents. So we meet once a month basically to discuss our children and how we as parents can support each other given the big task of taking care of our special needs children.
So how did the work get started?
Well, it started sometime April of last year, so we're basically a new organization. We're still a small group. We're around 11 families, but the core group of around 5 or 6 were mainly the reason why we met each other was the families were mainly being guided by a Filipino-Canadian social worker under the Ministry of Children. And she recently retired, and that's why she made sure that we as parents will support each other even if she's not around, and that's what we're doing, supporting each other and supporting our children.
So when it comes to things like housing and employment and things you mentioned, are there any challenges in place towards getting these children set up?
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges, especially on the employment side. There are a lot of companies now who have programs for employment of special needs children. But at the same time, we can do more, meaning we can still invite more companies who will understand the fact that these special needs children are basically Canadians who would like to be valuable members of society. Now, on the housing side, it's really a bit more challenging, especially here in the Richmond area, because we all know about the real estate prices has gone through the roof, so to speak. But with that said, again, there's still a lot of support that we get, not only from government entities, but also from private companies who are willing to help us look for for areas where we can put up housing and have our children live on either independent or semi-independent living options. So it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we would like to overcome.
So, to look at the other side of things, in your time supporting these children, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Well, you know what? My son has a developmental disability. And about a year ago, he just blurted out to us and asked his parents and said, "Mom and Dad, I would like to live a normal life." And that put us really, really crying, because we know that he is aware of his limitation. And yet again, he knows that it's only us, his parents, who can help us. So, and that's the reason why we're trying to help not only our kids, but the kids of other families. Because we know they like to live a life as normal as possible. So that hits us in the heart, so to speak.
So if you could send any message to all the parents out there about the need to support these children, what would you say?
Yeah. First of all, us Filipinos, there's always that cultural impact of let's not get other people involved, or let's not tell other people about the fact that we have special needs. But here in Canada, it's very different. We have a lot of resources, a lot of support. All we have to do is open up and tell people, one, we have a special needs child who needs help, and two, that we can help each other again for our children.
So what are the next steps for the support group going forward?
Yes, for 2017, we intend on expanding our membership. So we're writing to a lot of organizations to tell them that, hey, we have this support group. And if you have people in your different organizations, not only Filipino-Canadian organizations, but other organizations who have families with special needs, let them join us. And secondly, we have a lot of activities for our kids in terms of activities like learning how to paint, to dance, and all those stuff to make life enjoyable for them. So we've lined up a lot of things, for especially for next year.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah, of course, no problem. Thank you for having me and letting me explain our support group.
Of course. In this next segment of our show, we'll hear from Stephanie Craig and Megan Walton, who will be telling us about the upcoming Accessibility Awareness Day at the University of Windsor. So what can you tell me about the plans for the 2017 Accessibility Awareness Day?
Well, we definitely have a very exciting schedule of events planned for Accessibility Awareness Day, and I will let Megan speak a bit about our keynote speaker and the theme for Accessibility Awareness Day this year, which is Accessibility and Passion.
Mm-hmm. So our keynote this year is Temple Grandin, which we're very, very excited for. We've been working with her for a couple of years now to have her come. She's achieved great things in her life from my perspective. She has more than one PhD, and she's renowned in her field of animal science, and she's made these great accomplishments, and I think her story is just fantastic to share. So we're very excited to have Temple come, and she primarily advocates for autism in the realm of disability, so we'll hear a lot about her experiences with autism and her experiences just in her passion as well. But yeah, we're looking for some of our breakout session presenters, and we're quite open. We're looking to hear how you're making accessibility in your passion, in whatever that passion is.
Yes, we just recently put out our call for presenters for the breakout sessions, which is available on our website for Accessibility Awareness Day. Mm-hmm. So please feel free to take a look at it and submit an application. We would definitely love to have a wide variety of topics and presenters this year.
Yeah, so that website is our uwindsor.ca, and then you can /OHREA, so OHREA, that's the office we work from, so uwindsor.ca/OHREA, and all of the information is there. You can find the Accessibility Awareness Day link and Temple's full bio.
So how do the plans for this year differ from those of previous incarnations of AAD?
Well, this is our fifth annual Accessibility Awareness Day, which is really exciting. And we're really hoping to make it a big celebration of 5 years of celebrating accessibility and bringing awareness to accessibility. And I think a big part of that is having Temple. Like, Temple is our biggest speaker thus far, and we just want to just make it a big celebration and a big conversation about accessibility.
Definitely, we've had a lot of excitement surrounding Temple as our keynote from a lot of people, mm-hmm. who are interested in Accessibility Awareness Day and who have participated in it in the past, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And also, each year as we've been hosting Accessibility Awareness Day here at the university, we've been trying to build on it each year, having a large diversity of presenters as well as interesting things occurring during the lunch break that can allow the participants to be more interactive with the material. So the fact that we've been able to do this for 5 years with the support of the university and all the community collaborators has been fantastic. And we really, as Megan said, would like to celebrate the fact that this is our fifth year.
So, are there any challenges anticipated in coordinating everything?
I think it's like coordinating any large event, or sometimes I think it's like coordinating a major family reunion. Like, it's just getting all these pieces together and getting all the people together and celebrating and talking about accessibility. It's a huge topic, and I think our theme this year can be considered quite broad, because accessibility is broad. It should be, and it is in everything, in all parts of our lives and in all of our passions. So I think it's just really exciting. I think more than challenging. Right now we're hoping for presenter applications so that we can start narrowing down some of our breakout sessions.
Yes, definitely. As Megan mentioned, it can be a bit like a family reunion each year. We've had more and more people attending the session, so you know, makes it a bit difficult to try and coordinate all of that. Bit of a juggling game, I guess. And also, I mean, as with any event where you have a lot of presenters, there's always a lot of technology that you have to work with, and it can be touchy at times, so having to be prepared to deal with that also. But I think overall, in all the years we've done it, it's run very smoothly, and all the people who have presented have had a lot of positive things to say about their experiences with the event, as well as people who have attended. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely been a fantastic experience overall.
I think it's more exciting than challenging, because we've had signs for the Signs Restaurant for 2 years now, and they're from Toronto. So we're having people from here to Toronto come for a day to the University of Windsor, and we're all together, and for some things, like, we only get to see those people at that event, and so it is like a family reunion where you're like, oh my goodness, this is so exciting to see you, and it's nice to meet you face to face. We've had emails or whatever. So I just get really excited.
Yes, and with anything, the more experience you have with planning, the more you know what to expect, and the easier it becomes each year with certain people that you know you can go to contact for sponsorships or to help with technology or anything that you need. And Megan's been with the event so long that she's such an expert in knowing what needs to be done. So it really is a very exciting time to get to be involved with the planning and see everything kind of build from the ground up each year. Mm-hmm.
Like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Accessibility Awareness Day really is a great thing for people with disabilities. It's affording them the opportunity to share their ideas, their insights, their experiences in a way that can have a real meaningful impact. It's one thing to have a medical or statistical model what disability life means. It's entirely another to put a human face to it, to know that this is a person with a background and a story all their own, to know that these are people of strength and character, and it truly does take a person with a disability to speak about these matters. Nothing about us without us really does hold true. Person with a disability can and should be allowed to voice what's important to them. Might not be something directly accessibility related. Could just be they have a story where their disability played a minor role, but it might serve to tell our public that a person with a disability can do anything. If it's a modified something, great. Talk about it. Share your insight. Share your experience. I love it when a person is ready, willing, and able to talk about their condition. They don't talk about it as something that's a curse or something that's made them bitter. Those stereotypes are unbelievably outdated. When they talk about it as, yes, I've had this affected, but I've done this, this, and this, which has allowed me to compensate, shows strength and intelligence and character, and above all, an unwillingness to be just a stereotype. They become a person recognized for their abilities more than anything else. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.